Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us, and to be here, and that we can rustle the pages of the Holy Scripture and maybe get some understanding that Paul was leaving with young Timothy. I guess Timothy at this point wasn't too young, but nevertheless, they weren't together, and up until this time where we are in 2 Timothy 1. But it's great that we can sit down and have these, read these things like we're reading somebody else's mail.
Amen.
But it gives us the opportunity and the understanding that as we have been chosen in Christ and that we have made a vow with God that we believe what He says and we're going to do His will regardless, then we become a little something different. Because we have the good deposit. And that something different is when we open our mouth and use our lips, we can render the logos of God, the words of God, in a way that man can strum these instruments and make sweet music, and we can make sweet testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by allowing the Holy Spirit that indwells us to use our voice and to use our being for the cause and the purpose that He gave to Israel, and Israel didn't use like they should have used it. Now think about that. I can't hardly carry a tune in a bucket. So I don't know how sweet my words come out sometimes. They may not come out that sweet. But the meaning behind it is the love of God through Cecil McCurry since 1971. And I do the best I can. And so if it's not sweet music, it ought to be sweet understanding. And so I'll just leave it that way, and we'll go ahead and get started like we normally do. And we're going to start in 2 Timothy 1 again. And we're going to probably do 3 or 4 verses of scripture tonight. Because there's not a lot of scripture that goes with these. Because after what we went through in 1 Timothy 1 up through 12, there was quite a lot of it. And I just about used all my little verse notes that I've accumulated down through the years, but tonight, there's not all that many, but what are here are very important. And I want to read 12 over again, and then we'll begin with 13. Paul says he'd been appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Then he says, for this, for the which cause, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And what he's talking about there is the good deposit. And so when we get into 13 here, we're going to get a little understanding, 13 and 14. We're going to get a little understanding here, and these verses are not all that numerous, but what they say, Paul is telling Timothy over again, I think, in these situations. And he's telling Timothy again, buddy, don't ever drop that good deposit. Keep it with you from now on, because he's not going to be able to say this to him very much, because he's not sure he's ever going to see him in person again. So this is the reason for writing this letter or this epistle. And tonight's study is 193. 193. We're going to read verse 13 like we always do out of the King James. And then we're going to read my notes. And then we're going to read it out of the Koine Greek. And read Jack's notes. And then we're going to look at scripture. And there's, I think Jack, when he did this, he says, well, I've laid a lot on them so far, so I'm going to back off just a little bit. So, but what he left for us to look at is very important.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. In the King James, it says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So that's what it says in verse 13 of 2 Timothy 1. Let's go back for a minute and look at some of this. Because if you go word by word, which I like to do, sometimes you get a little different understanding of how all these things are structured together to make it turn out the way it is in the Koine. So the very first word there in 13 is hold. Hold fast. Well, you can admit fast right off the bat, because that has been added. It says hold the form. Okay. There is a form. It's like Ronnie building his house. They've formed it up. They're getting it ready to pour the foundation, so it has a form to it. So it says hold, and hold there, and that word is, I call it a pregnant word, because it is so many things that can be involved in this, because you can, there's things that you can literally hold in your hand, but this is not what he's talking about. You can keep within yourself. And this is the verb here. It's not a noun. And it, in the Strong's, it's 2192 in the Greek. And I already told you, you could omit the word fast, but hold there equals, in the Greek, the word echo, E-C-H-O, echo. And that equals out to many usages. So, you know, if you're standing on a bluff somewhere, and you're going to shout down into the valley, whatever word goes out of your mouth can return as an echo. So It's for many usages, but this is the basic one that we're going to deal with here, and it's the verb many usages, and it can mean possessions in the verb. It can mean ability. It can mean continuity. It can mean relation. And it can mean condition. And it also can change to a noun. And it talks about the form or the outline of. So here we get in to the noun part of this thing. The form, and the word form there in the Greek is hypotuosis. And that means for a pattern. And a pattern is a noun, not a verb. So it is a pattern of sound. And that sound, the word for sound is huga eno. And that means sound words or spoken logos. And that's as a means or an instrument and not as a product. And so the Holy Spirit uses me and you and others that has the testimony of Christ Jesus, God's Son, who gave all for all of this. And he calls it a good deposit. Because no one else had the ability to bring this good deposit about but God's Son. And that had been taken care of aeons and aeons before the world was ever created. He knew this was coming down the road. But he said, yes, Father, I'll do it. Because he's the fabricator. And so, what we are here and what we have here was cut and carved out of the Son of God. Literally. And we're a product of that. And so, when God, in the circumstance that happened in the Garden of Eden, when enmity was put between the two seeds, he said, okay, I'm going to need this wonderful music to overcome this problem that was had in the Garden of Eden. And this new creation that I've got is going to take care of that. And so here we are. But you see, it took him all the way down through Scripture, all the way 4,000 years plus, to get it down to that point to where he could do that. And he did it. So, again, Paul makes Timothy understand that these words, logos, they're the sound from the instrument rather than a product. Because whoever's saying it It will sound like it's their voice, but it's the Holy Spirit doing the speaking. So that's the reason Paul was told in other times and other places after his conversion on the Damascus Road, when God says, if you get called before the council, don't make a great speech and go down there with a great speech already made, because I'm going to use your voice, Paul. And you're going to testify what I say to the people that need to hear this. And so this is how it works. So Paul's telling Timothy, you're going to do the same thing. Which thou, you Timothy, hast heard of me, or from me. And if you want to go back to the Companion Bible, you can look in Appendix 104 and look at the 12th thing there, and you'll find the word P-A-R-A, para. Which is in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And that power will give you the understanding of why and how all this works. More better than I can explain it to you. But this is what we're talking about. This is my notes here. You don't have to agree with them, but nevertheless, here we are. Now, let's go to the Workman's Interlinear and read it there. And it says in verse 2 Timothy 1:13, it says, outline have of sound words, which from me you did hear in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's how it comes down out of the Koine Greek. You have from me an outline of sound words, which you did hear in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's Jack's notes on 13. And he says, through Paul's ministry, he seriously and coherently taught. I don't think anyone can deny that. And I think Paul was about the only one that could pull this off, because Paul finished what Christ didn't get to because God the Father didn't let him while he was here. So he has given them much work, much to work with concerning God's word and the fellowship of the mystery. And not only was Paul a powerful and strong preacher and teacher of his words, his work was in great love and faith inundated. The faith, purely and simply, was not the era of an ecumeniac, egomaniac trying to build an empire for himself. Paul never ever had that thought in his mind, I don't think. Paul's faith was purely and simply Jesus Christ. Fame had no allure for the apostle of the mystery truth. He humbly and with integrity was faithful to the deposit Christ had left him. Paul knew that he was hooked to the one that had all the wisdom and knowledge of this universe. Nowhere else you could go to get that. Okay, two places we want to look at here. Say, well, boy, that's a big jump from lifestyle. Well, yeah, it was. But let's go back and look at 1 Corinthians 2 for a minute. 1 Corinthians 2. Okay, let's see here. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to look at 1, verse 1 through 3. On page 1698, if you have a companion Bible. If you don't, I can't tell you what page it might be on. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verses 1, 2, and 3. He says, "And I, brethren," this is Paul writing here, "when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling." So when Paul gets to the Corinthians, he was sent there to straighten these Corinthians out. And he said, okay, I'm like an open book. I'm coming with my eyes open, my ears open, and my mouth ready to speak whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wishes me to tell you guys. This is what I'm saying. Okay. Now that's a lot to say in three verses. Now let's look at 1 Timothy. We'll go from there to 1 Timothy. If I can get through Thessalonians here. In 1 Timothy 1, we're going to start in 16. And that's on page 1801 if you have a companion Bible. Well, I'm going to start with 15. First Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief."
He always felt that way.
"Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all long suffering for a pattern." He was laying the foundation. He was laying the pattern out that everything was going to be built on. Especially when he gets here to 1 Timothy. "For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge, he says, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And I'm going to stop there because we're going to come back to there with this next verse of scripture. Because the next two verses here, the finish, 1 Timothy 1, goes along with the next verse of scripture that we have in 2 Timothy 1. And so I'm not going to read it yet, but I'm going to read it. Okay. So let's go back to 2 Timothy 1. And we're going to look at 14. 2 Timothy 1, we're going to look at 14. And he goes on talking about this good deposit. He says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, Timothy, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. If you don't have the Holy Ghost dwelling within, you don't have very much of a testimony. Because if the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you into all things, you need that leadership to live within you. And this is the reason why the Comforter came in Acts 1, Acts 2. Yeah. Okay. And so let's go back and look at my notes on 14. That good thing is called the good deposit. And that good thing in the Koine is the word parathiki. So you know why I said a while ago, go back to Appendage 104 and look at number 12, which the word is para. Well, you got parathiki, you got it right there. It'll tell you at the very beginning of it what the deal is as to how it relates or how it comes from God to man. Okay? The Spirit speaking through us, who also have this deposit, which was committed unto thee. Kept. And he says keep. But we realize that now we're 2,000 years just batted on down the road. But we can say kept by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. The Holy Ghost unto us as an instrument through us to give to others this deposit also. So do you see what he's telling Timothy here? Says, Timothy, you're going to have to take this deposit and run with it. the nation of Israel ain't doing it.
Yep.
And you're going to have to do it. You and Titus is going to have to do it. And so that's 14, because it brings it down to like we're instruments of God to put forth His word now, the mystery truth, to the world. If you guys don't do it, it's not going to get done. Okay. So let's look at Jack's part of 14 there. Let's read out of the Koine Greek. It says this, the good deposit committed. So if there's been a good deposit committed, if you go to the bank and you give them some goods or money, they are committed to keep it. Same way it is with God's word. Whatever you're given by God, you're committed to keep it through the Spirit Holy, which dwells in us. That's a little different than the saying, but it means the very thing that we're talking about. To keep the good deposit committed through the Holy Spirit, which dwelleth in us. The parathiki, the deposit, was also given to Timothy, and probably to various others who were sharing with Paul this great ministry. The word Holy Spirit here does not denote the person of the Trinity known as the Holy Spirit, but the giving of the Holy Spirit by that divine person. The Spirit is made to dwell in us for the teaching and performance of various acts of God's will. Holy Spirit effects great accomplishment and power for the accompany of the ministry of the mystery. Those are heavy words, folks. Those are heavy words. Okay. Having said that, and that's what the Koine Greek says, this is what Jack's notes were, and he gives us 5 places, but they're only in 2 books. Let's go back to the book of John first, and then we'll come back to Timothy. Let's go back to John 16. Back before Acts. No, we want to go to John 14 first. Okay. John 14. I'm sorry. Because when I put it down, I didn't realize that 14 was in front of 16. And I wrote first on there. We're going to look at John 14. We're going to look at 13 through 18. On page 1556, if you have a companion Bible. 13 through 18. Okay. 13 says this, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And this is the Son talking here. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's 15. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you eternal, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But we know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And Christ says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. That's 14 through 18. 13 through 18. Okay, now let's go to John 16. With that fresh on our mind and in our heart, we're going to John 16 and we're going to look at 12 through 16. And that's on page 1560. It's only 4 pages down. Okay, John 16, 12 through 16, on 1500. Did I say 1560?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, it is 1560. I can't read my own writing. Okay, let's look at verse 12. 12 through 16. And this is Christ again. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. This is the Holy Spirit. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. For he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore saith I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see me. And again a little while and you shall see me. Because I go to the Father. He's going to do what we couldn't do. He's going to take that blood and present it to the Father. So that's what we get out of John. You see what we can find in John. He is giving those people, those Israelites that didn't do what they should do, but if they will believe, they can. And he's going to give them life through his name. Because he is in charge of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. And that which dwells in you, he has control over. Because all things God has given him control. And so, what he says, you really can't argue with. There's no argument there. And it's not to be argued because we have it in big black bold words. And so here we are. So, and I sometimes when I get in the book of John, I just hate to leave the book of John. But let's go back to 1 Timothy 1 again. You know, I said a while ago, we going to be that back there? Okay, we're going to go back there. First Timothy 1:18. We read down through 18, but I'm going to read 18, 19, and 20 again. Well, I'm going to read 18 again, but then 19 and 20 follows that. So he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy, "This charge I commit unto thee, son, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme."
I sure would like to know what he meant by that.
Huh?
I sure would like to know exactly what he meant by that.
Well, evidently they're going to be learning a lesson.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not the only place it's in Scripture. But it's not the same people. Mm-hmm. One of them is, but the other, it changes somewhat. Okay.
It's little Alexander the coppersmith, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was the one
run up on him and asked.
That caused Paul a lot of problems in the book of Acts. Yeah. Okay. We're going to go from 1 Timothy 1 to 1 Timothy 4. So you don't have to turn but a few pages. And we're going to go to 4, and we're going to look at verse 4 through 6 on page 1804 if you have a companion Bible. Okay. And it says in 1 Timothy 4 through 6, 1804, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused." Do you remember when the sheet was let down?
Yep.
When Peter was on the housetop. He said, "If it be received with thanksgiving, if you thank me for it." Do we ever just sit down and eat and do things that you're asking God to help you with and not really thank him for it? No, we don't do that. "For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine." And good doctrine, again, is that pattern. The way things are done, the way God expects things to take place. "Whereunto thou hast attained." And I'll go ahead and just read 7. He says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." make it godly. Make it in prayer and make it in deed and make it with the fervors that God wants you to make it in, with understanding that what you do is part of your vow to God that you've made with God. Okay, let's look at another place. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. In 1 Timothy 6, that's on page 1807. That's just another two pages over. 1807. We're going to look at verses 11 through 14 there. If you have a companion Bible, 6:11 through 14. He said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Those things that goes on in verses 6 down through 10. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." You got six things there that you need to follow after. And then he says this, "Fight the good fight of faith." It's not fisticuffs now, it's fight the fight of faith. Have that faith. "Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And Paul says to Timothy, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." Because Pilate asked him, he says, "Are you the Son of God?" And Christ said, "Thou sayest that I am." He didn't want to do what he had to do, but he did it anyway because this was preordained that it would take place. "Who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, my word.
Amen.
"That he keepeth these commandments without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Full stop. Man, we could stop and think on that for a long time.
There's only one weapon in fighting the good fight of faith. That's the book.
Absolutely. Okay. So that was all that Jack gave us to look at as scripture there. So let's turn back to 2 Timothy. Yeah, I got just time enough to do that. 2 Timothy 15. 2 Timothy 1:15. "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. Okay. My notes. It says, this thou knowest, Timothy, that all they which are in Asia Minor be turned away, having shown to me their backside, of whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. In 1 Timothy 1:20, it was Alexander. But here is Hermogenes. And you got Hermogenes. And G-E-N-E is the same as we got G-E-N.
I wonder if that's a, like a Roman name.
Genus.
Almost
like Genesis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roman name.
The name G-E-N in the English refers to man. It is God reporting to man what his expectations are. And in Genesis, that's what God did. But man's expectations got balled up with this deal between God and Satan. And guess what? There is no scripture here, but I'm going to read you 15 out of the Koine Greek, but there is no scripture to look at, but there is a note that Jack left. And out of the Koine Greek, it says, you know this, that turned away from me all who is in Asia, of whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. And it's the same way in the more modern English. And here's Jack's notes on this verse. Paul is speaking of an unpleasant corner of his ministry. Asia here is Asia Minor. This extends barely beyond the confines of the mountains of modern-day Persia, the Black Sea area, and the Arabian Peninsula. This has been the Asia under Roman culture dominance as well as military occupation. Paul may have been said to have frequented this area. Certainly his influence reaches through the area. The struggles and oppositions of many in the area left him with feeling of great loss. The two mentioned at the end of the verse have to be considered as minor players in the drama, though certainly of major concern to the Apostle Paul. Whatever it was in 1 Timothy with the two, there was two more there in Asia Minor that carried that unfaithful thing on through.
So always going to be somebody, wasn't there?
He was dogged all his life. So there is no scripture verse to read there. It's been a long time since we did have scripture verse out of Jack's book. We'll pick up with 16 next time. And maybe it might make it through the end of chapter 1. I'm not sure, but we'll see how that goes. But thank you for hearing the word. that we had tonight. Thank you for the ability to try to bring it to you in understanding that we are instruments of God. And where we make sweet music or not, this is God's will and purpose for His plan and purpose for the ages.
Good point.
And Paul is bearing down on Timothy right here and now, talking about the good deposit, to keep it. Don't let it slip from you, whether I'm with you or I'm not. Keep it and carry it on and keep it going. Keep it going, boys. And I think that's what we need to remember, that we have been put here for a reason, and that's to keep the Word of God going, rightly divided in mystery truth. Thank you for your time. God bless you. Love you. And pray for us.